Thank you, Wanda. I would like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the very last chapter in the entire book. The very last chapter in the Bible. What chapter is that? Revelation 22. Revelation number 22. Tonight we finish the whole thing. It means that you know everything and you're ready for the test. And there will be this much of one during this lesson tonight. Sorry, but that's just the way, that's the teacher in me. Revelation 22, the last published words of Jesus. I did not say the last words of Jesus. Jesus is not dead. He is still speaking. Amen. However, be very, 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 very careful when someone says, Jesus said to me, and then they say something.
Oh, yeah.
Be very, very, very careful. What is Satan's most effective tool?
Deception.
Deception. Satan comes as an angel of light. Scripture says, test the spirits.
Yeah.
Be very, very careful. Jesus does still speak. But be very, very careful. The last published words of Jesus. These are words that we know for a fact, without question, are the words of our Savior. Pop quiz. How many books of the Bible contain direct quotations from Jesus? It's okay to respond in this one. I got this. No surprises in this lesson. I don't want to respond. But how many books of the Bible have direct quotations from Jesus? All right, an excitable bunch tonight. Wade, how many do you think?
I could be up to 66.
But... how many of you agree with that? 66. I don't think it's 66. I believe that God is quoted in 66, and Jesus is God, so by that standpoint, yes. But actual things where we know it was Jesus that said it?
Five.
Give them to me.
Matthew, Mark, Luke,
and
Revelation.
Acts.
That's four.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Acts. Acts also has it. Six. We know for a fact there are six books with direct quotations from Jesus in six books of the Bible.
What about
these? We're going to talk about that in just a second. What were the last words of Jesus on the earth? Good guess. Actually, he spoke a lot after he said his
finished.
Okay, what was the last thing that he said before he ascended into heaven?
You shall be my witnesses.
Very good, in Acts chapter number 1. Excellent. Tonight, we're going to see the last published words of Jesus. Chronologically, these are the last things that we know for a fact that he said. How important do you think these things are? Way up there. Way up there. How many of you have heard the name Zachary Timms? Raise your hand. Zachary Timms is a TV preacher. He was 42 years old. He passed away 9 days ago. He's in the Orlando area. And if there was a televangelist on the rise, he was one of them. He was quickly growing in the industry, so to speak. If he knew he was going to not be able to say anything else to his church, in other words, the last time he preached, if he knew that was going to be the last time he's going to be able to address his congregation, do you think he would choose his words carefully? Of course he would. He's going to say something that he wants them to remember. The last thing that Jesus said in this chapter is very, very, very important. I say all that to say this. Compared to the rest of the book of Revelation, chapter 22 is, and... so what? Big deal. Where's all the excitement in it? The fact that it's the last things that Jesus gave to us that we know for a fact are from Him, make it spectacular. So watch for exactly what He's trying to communicate. First of all, He says, this will all happen. Starting in verse number 6, why are we starting in verse number 6?
Verse 5, right?
Why did I do that?
It's kind of a continuation of the previous.
Is it possible that the chapter and verse divisions, as you have them, are not the way that are best to divide them? Absolutely it's possible. It's absolutely possible. Who assembled the Bible?
Man.
Man did. Man did. What does the word Bible mean? No, sir. Who said book? Good guess. Very good guess. But you're close. You're not thinking broad enough. The word Bible actually means library. Is there a library in Arcadia? Do y'all have books here? All right. You translate the word library, and you can put the word Bible on the door. It simply means collection of books. That's what it means. In your Bible are 66 books. And in the same way that it's your library system, they arrange them in different order based on different ideas. Scripture, your Bible, was arranged by human beings based on specific types of works. It is not, let me say it again, the Bible is not arranged chronologically. I am considering, after my next series, which I'm going to begin next Sunday, on Hebrews, we're going to start Hebrews next Sunday, but I'm considering after Hebrews doing a chronological Old Testament study. The only problem with a chronological study is you're talking about a 39-book period that you've got to intermingle, and it's surprising how the books overlap. And some books that you thought were later on chronologically, they were actually way early chronologically and that sort of thing. But how in the world am I talking about this stuff? Revelation chapter 22, verse number 6, in my opinion, where the chapter should start. And He, verse 16, makes it clear that this is Jesus. Up to this point, John was with one of the angels with the seven vials. This one caused me some little bit of headache because it's like, all right, where does He start speaking and where does He stop speaking? Interesting study on where the transition is at. Just take a look at it on your own time. And He said unto me, these sayings are everything you have heard and seen are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Everything that we studied in the book of Revelation is going to happen. Probably not the way I presented it. Probably when it's all said and done, you're going to say, how in the world did Danny get that so messed up? And how in the world did I agree with him? On the other hand, there's going to be some things that maybe one or two, that I'm going to be right on. You're going to say, man, I thought he was totally wrong on that. That's okay. How many people were waiting at the manger when Christ came the first time? Zero. They knew when Jesus was going to be born within a 12-month period. They knew where He would be born. Bethlehem. They knew it was going to be Bethlehem.
But not where in the city.
Bethlehem was Arcadia's big compared to Bethlehem. Bethlehem's a big town now, all right? But in those days, you're talking about Gotha. If you don't know where Gotha is, that's okay. Nobody else does either. But Bethlehem was a tiny place. They knew when the Messiah was coming, they knew where the Messiah was coming, and they still got it wrong. We're probably going to get our prophecy wrong as well. It's okay. There is one thing that Jesus is going to tell us a little bit later on that I think brings it all together. All of it is going to happen. By the way, the things which must shortly be done, He's referring here, in my opinion, to the seven churches. Okay? You have to remember that the book of Revelation is divided into three parts. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which must be hereafter. Those seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter number 3 had time to repent. They were warned, if you don't repent, I'm going to do what? Remove the candlestick or literally shut you down. And guess what? He did. Now then, some of the things in the book after 2,000 years still haven't happened. And it's possible It may be another 2,000 years. It's possible it may be another 2 million years before he comes back. There's absolutely no reason why it can't be that long. I don't see it. But you know what? Paul thought Jesus was coming back while he was still alive, and I can prove that.
Yes.
Next, we're going to see Jesus saying, don't be surprised by all of this. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Is this a reference to the rapture or the end times in general? The one thing that surprised me the most about this study is I absolutely have no idea when the rapture is. Zero. I know less about the rapture than when I first started. Every time Jesus speaks as coming like a thief, it's always in what?
Judgment.
Always coming as a thief in judgment. When he comes in judgment, it's at the end of the tribulation period, and it's still unexpected. When he comes to rapture or take away, to catch up the saved, it's going to be very surprising, even with the information that we have. I don't know. Behold, I come quickly. Is it a reference to the rapture, the end times in general? I cannot answer that question. If you can, I hope you've got verses to back it up. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What is this blessing? I told you there's going to be a test. This has already been given. The answer to this question has been given in this study. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. What is the blessing? Come on, you graduates of prophecy. Does anybody know? I'm going to give you a hint. First chapter 1, verse 3, we read, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Same blessing. Now, chapter 1, verse 3, makes it clear it's three steps, not just one. What is the blessing of reading, hearing, and keeping? In chapter 22, verse 7, it goes right to the keeping part. But what is that blessing? To me, it's the most important chapter in the book, chapter number 1, freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. There is no reason to be afraid of the book of Revelation or anything in the future or anything in the present. Why? God's got this. And that's just one of 8 reasons he gave in chapter number 1. How are you doing on your test so far? All right, it's going to get interesting. Have you been in sermon mode? What is sermon mode? Sermon mode is when you get to church and, all right, it's time to start preaching. And, all right, let's see if he makes any dumb statements or says anything I don't believe. A lot of people come to church with a chip on their shoulder. I dare you, knock it off. Some of this stuff, occasionally, you might want to write down. You just might. Because you never know when you might need it. Just never know. Exactly. Verse number 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Was that a good idea or a bad idea? Bad idea. How do we know that was a bad idea? This is the second time he's tried to do it. Verse 9, then he saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. It is encouraging to me that even an apostle didn't get everything right the first time. Do you ever get frustrated with yourself and think, I can't believe I just did that again, or I can't believe I missed that? Even John, just 2 chapters later, makes the same mistake again. And John walked and talked with Jesus. He is one of the apostles with one of the gates named after him and still tries to worship somebody other than God. It's okay to mess up if you are trying to do good. Be very careful. Man, I love this in your lesson. We lose our first love when we say, you know what, I'm only human. And we stop trying.
Yeah.
That is never acceptable. Would it be okay in God's eyes for John to say, oh man, I did it again, and then next week just do it again, and the week after that just do it again, the week after that just do it again. No, eventually you got to say you're not trying anymore. But I believe John gave it his effort. Very important distinction. Verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Putting it in my words, spread the word. Tell everybody what you have seen and heard. This is important because when we studied the book of Daniel, we saw that Daniel was told not to spread the word. Daniel was told in chapter 8, verse 26, also chapter 12, verses 4 through 10, to seal up the prophecy. Don't tell people. There are certain things that Daniel saw that we will not know until we get to heaven because he was told not to tell anyone. John was told to tell everyone. As a result of this statement to John, what is our responsibility?
To keep it going.
Almost on a regular basis at work, I see guys and I look at their attitudes and I say, you know what, I really need to talk to you. And somehow the occasion doesn't arrive. But it needs to. It needs to. Why is it the occasion doesn't come around? Come on, we all have the exact same experience. Why is it the occasion to talk to people just never seems to come around? It's scary.
Yeah.
Particularly in a work situation, because you got to be careful at work. By the way, what is the key to witnessing at work? Off the clock. Period. Off the clock. Why is it we want to witness during work when we're supposed to be working?
Mm-hmm.
Witnessing while you're supposed to be working, in my opinion, is sin. It is. If that person is important enough to talk to, it's important enough to say, hey, can you hang around after work for a few minutes? It's important. But we just never do seem to do that for some reason. Spread the word. Verse 11. Boy, this verse is tough. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, I've got to get your input on this one. I know the past several ones I've told you to be quiet, but I want your input on this one. What do you think Jesus is saying in this verse to John? What are your ideas?
Wherever you are at this point in time, you're going to say that.
Is that really something that Jesus would say?
If you haven't accepted the gospel yet, then you're going to stay as you are.
Okay. That is, I think, a very good idea. What else?
When you reach the point of death, though, or at the end.
They're not at the point of death. These are people who are active in their lives. And he's saying, whatever you're doing now, just keep right on doing it. Is this really jive with the rest of Scripture? No, it does not. This one I have to do some studying on. Who is he talking to? Always ask yourself, who is he talking to? He is talking to John. John, when you come across someone who is unjust, let him be unjust. Don't try to force him to do right. He that is filthy, John, let him continue to be filthy. This book is sent to believers. We are encouraged to be faithful like the last part of the verse. He that's righteous, keep doing it. If you're righteous, keep being righteous. If you're holy, keep being holy. It's written to believers. What should believers do with unbelievers? Whoops, where did it go? I backed up. We don't cast our pearls before swine. What did Jesus mean when he said that? Cast not your pearls before swine. Yes.
I'm a bit confused.
Okay.
Verse 11, isn't this the angel still talking to Jesus?
No, this is Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. I could be wrong. I don't claim to be perfect, but I could be wrong. John,
when he fell down at his feet, and the angel corrected him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then verse 10, a continuation, then he said unto me,
mm-hmm.
the angel is still talking to John, okay, brought in the and it's a continuation of 10, is the way I see it. I'm going to write chapter.
You're going to chapter. Later on, Danner, I Jesus. Okay, you have to determine where Jesus starts and the angel stops.
Right.
And in David's Bible, you got red letters. Who put the red letters in there?
Man did.
Man did. All right.
But I was just reading.
That's good. Trust me. I me too. I had to determine because this flow of he starts in chapter I think 20. It's way back there. With that angel, it's a, where does it change? And at some point, it does change mm-hmm. to Jesus, all right? But just for the sake of argument, what difference would it make if it's the angel or Jesus in this particular case?
He was commanded to hear it one way or another.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Regardless of it's true one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now then, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. What did he mean by that?
Some people are not going to accept it.
If a person is not willing to hear, we don't force it down their throats. Jesus never forced it down anybody's throat. If there is someone, even that you love in your family, that will not accept what you've got to say, you back off. Particularly, and some of you may not like this, particularly if that person is your husband. Back off. Let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit's work. Our work is to speak. The Holy Spirit's work is to apply. And if he's not applying, that gives us freedom to back off. Not permanently. But at some point, when it's clear that you're talking to somebody that is not going to respond to what you've got to say, let them continue doing what they're doing until God, through his Holy Spirit, comes in and makes a change. Who would have thought that this would be the controversial part of the series? Next, Jesus is saying, it will be worth it all. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. This is clearly the rapture. The second coming is about judgment. As he comes, when he comes to the thief, always about judgment. He doesn't bring rewards. With the rapture, there is rewards. Let's talk about the rewards we receive. The event is called the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans chapter 14, verse number 10, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is different than the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is for the unsaved. They are judged according to the works to go where? To hell. No one at the great white throne goes up. They're all judged to hell.
Right.
At the judgment seat of Christ, we all are judged according to our work. Why dost thou judge thy brother? That's what I'm trying to say. Only Christians are at this judgment. The judgment seat is not to judge sin.
Right.
Hebrews 8, verse 12, which we're going to study in several weeks from now, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin will I remember no more. Isaiah 43, 25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 103, 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. No sin that a believer commits over the course of his entire life will ever be brought up against him ever again.
Right.
Let me say that again. No sin that a Christian ever commits over the entire course of his life is ever held against him. If it is, God is unjust. Period. It's called double jeopardy. Casey Anthony, you know that name? She can never be tried for killing her daughter, ever. She was found not guilty. She could go on national television and say, this is how I did it, and no one can ever do anything legally to her. Now, she's not going to do that because there's some rednecks that come after her. But make no mistake, the government can do nothing about it because she has been judged innocent. Jesus on the cross paid for every single sin that a believer has ever or will ever commit. If God brings it up, God is unjust. It will not come back up. If it does come back, he's a liar. And I can give you a bunch more verses than just those four. No sin that a Christian ever has committed or ever will commit will ever come back up. That does beg a question, though. What does happen? What does happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, does that contradict what I just said? It does not. This word bad has nothing to do with sin. That is not a sinful act. How can that be? Okay, how can that be? Say, how can that be, Annie? How can that be? Well, let's let the Bible explain it to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth. And that word buildeth is the key. How he buildeth. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build, there's the word again, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. We got six different types of building materials. Six different types. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a what?
Reward.
Of the six building materials, how many of them will survive the flame? Three. Not six. Three. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what?
Reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now let's talk this through. What makes the difference on what kind of building material you're using? Let's put it in a very practical sense with Sunday school teachers. Dad gets up here and says, we need Sunday school teachers. He says, you know what? Jim, you'd be a good one. I think you ought to do it. And somebody says, you know what? Jim would be perfect for that. I just think Jim ought to do it. Jim, you ought to do that. Jim says, fine. I'll do it. Nobody else is going to do it. Sunday morning, he gets up. What am I going to teach today? Oh, that'd be a good one. All right, kids, sit down. Shut up. I'm going to read the Bible. And what does that mean? Now, you're wrong-headed what that means. That means something else. All right, class is over. Wood, hay, stubble?
Yep.
That's pretty much stubble. Is it sin? No, it's not sin. The attitude is sin, but that's forgiven. The method is sin. He is doing something that he is supposed to do for a bad reason. Motivation is what makes it good or bad.
Right.
Now then, you've got another person. Let's suppose this person says, you know what? I know I really don't have any idea how to do this, but if somebody's got to teach some kids, I'll do it. And they open their Bible and they can't understand a thing they're seeing, but they're going to try. And they walk into that class, they start teaching things that it's there, but they get it all twisted up, and the kids come out and say, What did that person say? I just don't understand. And God takes that class and he runs it through the fire, and God says, you know what? That's gold. That's gold. Because your intentions were pure. That's where reward comes from. That's what makes the difference of the judgment seat. What you did, why did you do it? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Is it possible to go through your entire Christian life, stand before God, and be handed virtually nothing at the judgment seat? Absolutely. It's not. You're not going to receive nothing. Everybody gets a crown of life as you're saved.
Exactly.
But rewards. It is entirely possible to be handed almost nothing. The thief on the cross will be handed almost nothing. Why? He got saved at the very last moment. On the other hand, there are some people probably never noticed in their whole life, and they're going to get the most rewards. And a lot of it's going to be saved. What? And most of it won't be preachers. I believe preachers will get some of the least rewards. Why? Because so many of them do it for the paycheck. I ain't saying nothing about him, but I've been around preachers my whole life. And there's several of them I've met. You take their paycheck away and they're out the door. Okay? Watch out for motivation. It's everything.
Yes.
Again, the timing of the judgment seat is not revealed. I don't know when that is. I have no idea when it is. I believe it happens right after the rapture, but I don't know when the rapture is. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Again, if this is the angel speaking, he's claiming to be God. Okay, see where my done is, David, in determining where the angel stops when Jesus starts? I struggled with that. This here, obviously Jesus. But to transition between that previous, it's just there. I mean, it's like, it's hard. Jesus is once again claiming to be God. He is God. I don't understand how the Jehovah's Witnesses can get around this passage, though. Okay? In chapter 1, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. When was God ever dead? Only on the cross, but they just don't see it. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. What is this place commonly called?
Heaven.
Commonly called heaven, but we do not spend eternity in heaven. Heaven is a place where disembodied souls are at. Very good. Excellent. Where Marion is at right now, where Mom is at right now. I believe the place where we spend eternity in our glorified bodies is the New Jerusalem. I believe heaven's abandoned. Okay, it doesn't say that, but that's what I believe. I believe heaven's very uninteresting compared to the New Jerusalem. How much is enough to get in? Look at the verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments. How much of his commandments do you have to do? One. There's a time I would have agreed with that. I have to disagree with you. That is the part of what gets us there, but you have to understand our righteousness is imputed. Okay? We are credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are not charged with our own sin. It's to me just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. On the way here today, Julio hadn't been able to drive the past several days. He made a couple of mistakes. Let's suppose there was a mistake that he did and he totally crashed the car. And I said, Julio, trade seats with me. I'm going to take this one for you. Now, do you see me doing that? Officer, it was him. He was driving. It was him. I told him not to do that. He did it anyway. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus traded seats. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Tough passage. Tough passage. We always believe these are people in hell. No. Hell is going to be cast into the bottomless pit. Okay? This is outside the city. I don't understand it. Lastly, he says, come. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. Two separate things there. As root, He is God. He is David's creator. I created David is literally what it says. As offspring, he is human and rightful heir of the throne of David. And the bright and morning star, and I'm going to give you stuff now you're going to choke on. Linda, particularly you, this is going to be hard for you because you haven't heard me teach this before, so you go like this, la, 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 I'm not hearing, because this is going to be hard for you. You ain't heard what I'm about to say. In Jerome's Latin Vulgate, the Latin Bible, you know what it says there? I, Jesus, am Lucifer. Yeah, it's exactly what it says. Lucifer is a Latin word for morning star, means heavenly being. That's it. He is the bright heavenly being. I am the greatest of heavenly beings is what he is saying here. The word Lucifer in your King James Bible, the only place it's found in the English language, means morning star or heavenly being. All it means. Be real, real careful saying that Lucifer is Satan because Lucifer is not Satan. If you don't know about that, you missed two or three of my series because I talk about that a lot. 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride? Believers, there are some who would say it's only faithful Baptist members. That's true. I've heard that taught. You've heard it taught. I don't see it in Scripture. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Come where? Come where? Come to me, all you that labor and are weary or heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to Jesus. This is the invitation of all of Scripture. The final words, the final published words of Jesus, come. Come. Not judgment, not your horrible person, not you deserve what you get. Come. Broadcast to everyone, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Who will? Only the elect. Yes. Only the elect will, but everyone's invited. Right. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. I would be remiss if I didn't address this. This book that he is talking about is not the Bible. It is the book of Revelation. The Bible was not completed at this point. Scripture, 66 books. Bible meaning library was put together in the first century. There is some dispute as to even if Revelation was the last book that was penned in the Bible. If you add to the book of Revelation, you get the plagues that are in the book of Revelation. If you take away from it, God takes away your part in the city mentioned in the book of Revelation. Regardless of your interpretation of these verses, though, even if you see it as the collection of Scripture, God has no problem keeping His Word intact. There is a great attack on Scripture now. On somebody, I don't know if it's a History Channel or one of those channels about the missing books of the Bible and things banned from the Bible and that sort of thing. Make no mistake, we got a God that preserved His Word through thousands of years of attack. What you have is what He wants you to have. Period. You are missing none of it. Zero. It's all there. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Again, rapture, I don't know. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I believe John expected to go in the rapture, just like Paul did. I can't prove it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And thus ends the book of Revelation. I believe the most important thing you can take with you, don't be afraid. God's got this. If you're not saved, be very afraid. Be very, very afraid. Yep.